for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, November the 28th, 1998. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the teacher of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's stand and praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you again for this precious time of coming together. Lord, to enter the Word, Lord, and to teach the Word and to understand it. Father God, give us great understanding. Cause the light to shine upon us this morning, Lord, as we study your Word, we pray. Bless this people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Open their understanding and mine as well, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I sure enjoyed those songs Robert played, didn't you? Praise God. I really enjoy his ministry. The Lord's given Robert a beautiful ministry. Appreciate it. We need one another, don't we? Hallelujah. I want to touch on something I was on last night before we go on a few other things. Let's go back to where we were last night, 1 Corinthians 15. I want to touch a few scriptures about being in Christ. How many know that's a key? I said something last night. Well, I tell you what, let's go to Colossians first. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1, and we'll start there and begin to add to that which we shared last night, and then we'll go on some other things here. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, and Paul's speaking to the church. I mean, the church needs to hear what the Lord's saying. He said, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? To his saints. How many is a saint this morning?
Amen.
How many don't, you don't have to wait and die to become a saint?
Amen.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So this mystery has some glory, doesn't it? Among the Gentiles or the heathen, which is Christ, come on, help me, in you the hope of glory. How many believe he's our hope this morning? Now, look at verse 28. Whom we preach. Paul said, we preach Christ, that hope of glory, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Here's why. That we may present every man perfect or mature or complete or full age in Christ Jesus. So Christ comes in us to take us into him. Isn't that true? And then he said in verse 29, whereunto I also labor. This is not fleshly labor, though. Striving according to what? His working, which worketh in me mightily. So Christ comes in me and in you, but he wants us to enter into him, to come into that perfection or that maturity. Is that right? Amen. All right, now back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. I want to touch this again. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. Hello, Brother Billy. Praise God. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, I mean, no, that was by Adam. By man, Christ Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all are going to what? Die. Even so in Christ, those that move in Christ. Now, how many believe that we need to be covered over with Christ himself? Do you believe he's your covering this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Now, God wants us to walk in the Spirit, doesn't he?
Amen.
To be walking in the Spirit means we're completely covered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He is our righteousness. He is the anointed one. He wants us to live in that Holy Ghost. He wants us to walk in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to pray in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to be led in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And so we must be covered with Christ or his righteousness and that light. And so he says here in this verse that every man, in verse 22, Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so the life is coming in us, and yet he's taking us into that life. Isn't that true? And every man in his own order, and that means rank. We said that last night. Christ the first fruits. Here's the order of the resurrection. And afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And we said there is a first fruit company. Now, what does it mean to be in first fruits? What does it mean to be part of first fruits? It simply means he's going to take all the rebellion out of you and me. How many believe that's a process? And how many believe we've got a ways to go? Amen. So once God gets the rebellion out of us, I believe we'll be part of that people. Amen? Praise God. But it's a process. We know that. Then go to Ephesians 1:10. Now, I said last night that in the first fruits, there's also two parts. And I said heaven and earth. And I'll show you here. Ephesians 1:10. Ephesians 1:10 says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one. And notice the next part. In one, all things where? In Christ. Both which are in heaven. I may believe we've got some brethren there today.
Amen.
Amen? And which are on the earth, even in him. So it's all in him, isn't it? So those in the heavenlies, as well as here on the earth, he's going to bring us together. Amen? Praise God. Now, then we go to another scripture. Look at Hebrews 11. How many believe the work is going on here and there today? Hebrews 11. Look at verse 39. Now, we talk about this great faith chapter, but how many has ever read chapter 12? How many know that's really a faith chapter too? But in chapter 11, verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report. They got a good report card, didn't they? Through faith received not the what? The promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made what? Perfect or complete. How many believe there's no devil where they are tonight, today? Those that went on to be with the Lord. Isn't that right? But we have a devil here to overcome, don't we? And you know, in the spirit, they are learning from us. How many know that cloud of witnesses overshadows us today? And yet they're learning in the spirit things that we're overcoming. How many know they also... how many believe they're saying sick them? Amen? Amen? And go for it. That's right. And so they're learning from us in the spirit, not the physical, in the spirit. Now, I want to go over to Mark's gospel. I'm just leading up to some things I'm getting into. Mark chapter 13. And I want to look at a verse here to back up Ephesians 1:10. Mark 13, verse 27. Now, Matthew says this just a little different, but that's why I went to Mark. And verse 27, then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect or his chosen from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of. Well, didn't Ephesians say he'd bring those in Christ which are in heaven and earth together? So there's another scripture there, okay? And so, but they cannot be made complete without you and I. God is going to complete and finish the job, isn't he? In his people there and here. Praise God. Then we go to another scripture. Let's go over to Colossians. Colossians 3. We read one while ago, chapter 1. But in Colossians 3, look at verse 1. Paul said there, if ye be, then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where?
Above,
where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he said, set your affection. How many know that means your mind? That word affection means your mind. You got to set your mind, your will on God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are what? You're dead. Now, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, there's some people walking around on their feet that are dead, but not dead physically. Isn't that right? They're dead to sin. They're dead to self. Come on, amen? They're dead to their own thinking, to their opinions, and to their flesh, and to the world, but they're alive, very alive unto God. And so he says to us here that we're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and that appearing is in us first. Are you hearing me? As well as out there. Then shall you also appear with him where? In glory. Okay, there's a lot we could go into that, but I just want to throw that out. Now, go to Galatians. chapter 3. And let's look at a scripture here together. We're talking about in Christ, some scriptures here in Christ for a few minutes. Galatians 3:27. And he said, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Now, this is not water baptism. How many thank God for water baptism? But this is a spiritual baptism. But he didn't say all of you. He said, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, into the Anointed One, have put on Christ. So if we're moving into Christ, then we're putting on Christ, right? Again, he's our garment. He's our righteousness, isn't he? So as we move into the Lord, into Christ himself, the Anointed One, we're putting Christ on. Then we go to Romans 11 and verse, Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 13, 14, and it says this in Romans 13, 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you put him on? By being baptized into him, right? Is that right? Okay. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You want to overcome the lust and the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in Christ. Is that right? That's where it's at. Praise the Lord. We want somebody to deliver us from all these things sometimes. And how many know God wants us to walk in the Holy Ghost? That is your deliverance, isn't it? Can you say amen? And see, and so also last night we said something about it's critical that we get our souls, you know, dealt with by God. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures on the soul, and then I'm going into this resurrection. Let's go to Psalm 7, then give me a little extra time this morning. Psalms chapter 7. Sister Coffey didn't touch us yesterday. She was going to, but she didn't go into it. But have you enjoyed her teaching yesterday afternoon? Wasn't that wonderful? Praise God. Psalm 7, and look at verse 1. Here David's under persecution. He's crying out for deliverance. You ever been there? And verse 2, he said, lest he tear my soul like a lion. So our soul can be torn. It can be rent. It can be fragmented, can it? How many believe that God is beginning to restore your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires? You know why? We're calling it back, aren't we? We're kicking the enemy out and we're calling back what is rightfully ours. How many know that God said this, I hate robbery. And the devil's a thief. He's a liar, isn't he? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And God wants to restore back to you and me. Hold your place. Look in Psalms 19. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 19, verse 7. Here it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. His word is perfect, isn't it? And notice, converting. That word converting means restoring. Restoring the soul. So the word of God will restore your soul, convert your soul. And the testing of the Lord is sure making wise and simple. Back in Psalm 7. So in verse 2 he said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it, the soul in pieces, while there is none to deliver. That's a sad thing in so many groups and churches and places. There's no one to set people free. And then there's some who just stand against this minister and they don't want it to come into the church. How many believe that God's going to override all that? Amen. And he's going to raise up men and women of God, amen, from nowhere, who are not known and going to thrust them out to set his body free. Isn't that right? How many, all we have to be is a believer. Praise God. In my name, come on, you'll cast out devils. Isn't that right? Psalms 22. Psalms 22. You know, just because I come here and preach end time don't mean I don't get out and teach deliverance and preach deliverance. But when I come here, it's mainly end time God has me teach. But when I go other places, we preach deliverance. We believe in it. And I believe it since the 60s when I come to the Lord. It's a vital ministry, isn't it? They've come too late. Tell me deliverance isn't real. Amen. How about you? Hallelujah. Psalms 22:20. Psalms 22:20. It says, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul from the sword. You ever felt like you had a sword in your brain? Your mind? There's war, isn't there? Sometimes you wake up and you got war in your head. You got a war. Is that right? Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, this is your soul. Now, you see, the soul's a female. You know that, don't you? How many don't know that? Look in Psalms 34. We'll come back there. Psalms 34. Uh-huh. Verse 2. My soul. 34:2. My soul shall make her boast. How many see the word her? Your spirit, your masculine part. Amen? The dominion part, the authority part. But the soul's a female. How many know the female submits to the masculine? Christ is in our spirit, isn't he? Here he said, my soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. God wants our spirit and soul to become one. But that can only happen as my soul submits to Christ and my spirit. Is that right? And if my soul is taken to ascendancy, how many know that's Jezebel? Because I'm ministering out of my soul, not my spirit. Come on now, don't shout. Back in Psalms 22. Yeah, praise the Lord. Psalms 22:20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling. Notice, my darling, that's that female part of us. From the power of the dog. Anybody had any dogs around lately? Come on. I used to preach on those dogs. Yeah, those demons, that's right. So we got some dogs around. Now go over to Psalms 35. I'm just throwing these scriptures out. You can look them up and study them. Psalms 35:17. Now it's a little different here in this verse. 35:17, I think it's what I want. Or is it 35:17. All right. Look at this verse. Verse 17. Lord, how long? You ever said that? Will thou look on, rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling. Now here's not from the dog, it's from the lions. Well, how many of that's the same enemy? Whether it's dogs or lions, come on. They're after your soul. Rescue my soul. How's your soul rescued? I'll tell you how it's rescued, by getting the trash out of you. Amen? Yeah. Come on, amen? Putting Christ back into you. Then in Psalm 74, one more scripture here on this. Psalm 74, hallelujah. Look at verse 19. He said, oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove to the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Notice here he calls the soul the turtle dove before he call it darling. Hallelujah. All right. Now, in the resurrection, I said last night, there's a resurrection of the living, a resurrection of the dead. Is that true? We want to look at this. Let's go over to John 6:44. First of all, I'm going to take you into these scriptures in chapter 6, and we'll go to chapter 5. How many thank God for a resurrection power that's within us today? Amen? It's working in us today, is it? Amen. I felt it when Robert was up here singing, didn't you? Praise God. John chapter 6, verse 44. You know, some say, well, you don't go by feelings, but I sure do like to feel it, don't you? John 6:44. And Jesus said this, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up. When's he going to raise us up? At the last day. How many know that last day is 1,000 years? Yes. Now, you know why it's 1,000 years? The Bible says it, right? But number two, the reason it's 1,000 years is because the previous 6 days are 1,000 years. You hear what I said? He said, I'll raise him up the last day. Now look at verse 39. Verse 39. Also he said, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, that's Jesus, and believes on him, the Son, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then in verse 54. Who eateth my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How long is that last day? Starts with the coming of Jesus, but it's 1,000 years. And that's why I teach the resurrection goes all the way through the 1,000 years. That seventh trumpet is going to blow 1,000 years, not 2 minutes. Did you hear what I said? There's going to be people come to the Lord during the millennium, regardless of what we think. And there's going to be people who have to come into resurrection power, just like you had to. All right? Look in John 11. Look in John 11, 23. John 11, I believe it's 23. Yes, okay. Jesus said to her, that is Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew more about it than some preachers, didn't she? Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he come. Live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die, believest thou me. So what if you laid the body down? How many of you are still living? Hallelujah. Then look in chapter 12. Look in chapter 12, verse 47. How many believe we don't have to fear death? Say, we don't have to fear death. We fear God. Amen? Amen. Verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him when? In the last day. How many believe that we're going to have to give account to how we receive the word of God? You know, we don't love the Lord anymore. We love his word. Is that right? Praise God. We need to love Jesus, but we need to love his word. Because how many know these are from him? Amen? It is him. It's life. That's right. Amen. Now, I want to go to Job. I want to go to John. I want to go to John 5. I want to go to John 5 and verse 24. John 5, 24. Now, I want to show you the resurrection here of life, and then we'll hit the dead in a minute. John chapter 5. I don't want to be in that resurrection, though. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. So you have the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Is that true? Then go to Acts 24. Acts 24 and verse 16, I believe it is. Actually verse 14. 14 through 16. Acts 24, 14 through 16. And Paul here said, this I confess to you, to thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God that they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and who else? Come on. And the unjust. And herein do I exercise. Now notice, because I know this, he said, I'm going to exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and towards men. How many see that? Okay. Now, let's go to Daniel 12. Daniel 12 and verse 1. Daniel's after Ezekiel. And verse 1. And the Bible tells us here in verse 1, of chapter 12, at that time shall Michael stand up. Michael means to be like God. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Jesus called it tribulation, didn't he? Such as never was since there was a nation even of that same time, and at that time thy people shall be raptured. No. That word deliver there means preserved. That's what the word means. God's preserving a people, isn't he? Thy people shall be preserved. Everyone that shall be found written where? In the book. Do you know that you can be blotted out of the book if you don't overcome? He said, those that overcome will not be blotted out of the book. God said to Moses, those that sin against me, I'll blot them out of the book. Then he said in verse 2, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, and everlasting contempt. How many see that? Everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. So again, there's two resurrections. Now turn to Revelation 20, and here we see the time, we see a time element in between here. Praise God. Isn't that true? I mean, there's 1,000 years in between these two resurrections, between the just and the unjust. Isn't that right? Revelation 20 and verse 4. Now here, here he taught, now in verse 4 through 6, you know who these people are? They're overcomers. I'll tell you who they are. They're the overcomers. Anybody want to be an overcomer? Amen. All right, look at this verse. I saw thrones, he said, and they sat upon them. So there's somebody sitting on the thrones. And judgment was given to them. Daniel 7 tells us that. Okay? Judgment was, how many know God's not putting judgment in anybody's hands? He said there's a people who will judge the world and judge angels, but how many know he'll not put that in the immature? Come on now, amen? I saw the souls of them, he says, that was beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. That means they'd been here. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. How long?
1,000 years.
These are overcomers. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. How many believe somebody's going to rule and reign with him? If we suffer with him, come on, we'll reign with him. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is what? The first resurrection. Now notice, you want to be in that first resurrection here in verse 6. What does it say? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, which is the lake of fire, right? Hath no power. It cannot affect you. But they shall be, those that's in that resurrection, those that's blessed and holy, shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years expire, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. Where's his prison? The bottomless pit. And he's going to come out. In verse 8, he shall go out to deceive what? What's he going to deceive? The nations. That means nations were here. Nations grew. People were born. Isn't that right? All right. Which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle the number whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Somebody's going to say, amen. And where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Now look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to be in the first resurrection. How about you? I want to make the first. Amen? By the grace of God. So there's 1,000 years between the two resurrections. 1,000 years apart between the two. And so the first resurrection is for the blessed and the holy. The second resurrection are going to be the rest of the dead, and most of those are the wicked dead, I believe. And so the first one takes place at the beginning and even during the 1,000 years, and the second one takes place, of course, at the end, after the 1,000 years. And so there is a breach, you see, of time between the two, basically there. Hallelujah. All right, let's go now to some other scriptures. I want to go to Job 19. How many know Job saw a resurrection? Thank you, Lord. Now, how many believe the trumpet's going to sound and the dead's going to be changed? But what trumpet's going to, what is the final trumpet's going to change us? Which trumpet do we need to hear? We've got to hear all six of them, but the last one's going to change us. Isn't it the final change? Isn't that right? I'll show it to you in a minute. But look here in Job 19:25. Now listen to what Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Do we know that today? "And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Well, he left the earth. He's coming back to the earth. He left the Mount of Olives. The Bible said he'll come back to the Mount of Olives. This same Jesus, come on, that ascended is going to descend. Isn't that right? And though after my skin worms destroy this body, Job says, yet in my flesh, he's going to what? He's going to see God. The pure in heart will see God. Isn't that right? Amen. Whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me. When's that going to happen? In the latter day. Well, we just read a while ago in John 6, it was the last day, didn't we? I'll raise those up. Amen? And yet Job says the latter day. Praise God. Now, Job 14. Job 14. Verse 14. Job says here, if a man die, and how many know everybody's going to die unless they're living when Jesus comes. If a man die, shall he live again? ? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. You have no choice in the matter, isn't that right? Till my change come. Now, right now, our change must be in the soul. Is that true? We dealt with that last night. And then the final change will come in the body. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. How many believe he's changing us as we submit to him? Anybody want to get changed? Don't fight the change. Let us not fight it. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, we read today, Christ in us is the mystery, isn't it? "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means we'll not all die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." But notice, a lot of people don't quote this last part. At the last trump. Well, if there's a last trump, I believe there's going to be some more before.
Amen.
That means also you were changed by those trumpets. Isn't that right? "Well, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be" what? "Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality," and so forth. But remember back in chapter 15. Now look back again with us. Look back here. Look back here in verse 15 of that same chapter where we were, in verse 22 and 23 again. "For in Adam we die," right? "But in Christ we shall all be made." So the key is to move in Christ. Christ coming in you, take you in Christ. We said that, right? "But every man in his own rank, Christ, first fruits, the head and body." How many know Christ is head? Jesus Christ. The body is also the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. "After they that are Christ at his coming." We showed you that first fruits of Revelation 14:4 last night. It is a people. And that's the people that's taken all that rebellion out of us. So he's changing us. Now go to Revelation 10:7. Here's the trumpets blowing. In Revelation. How many trumpets are in Revelation? Seven trumpets. Revelation 10:7. And it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel." What is seven? Spiritual perfection, isn't it? "In the days of the voice," and notice the word days. See that word days? It's going to be many days. "Of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall began to sound. The mystery," there's that word mystery again, "the mystery of God should be finished." Where's it going to be finished at? In you and me. Now notice, "as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." That's why we need to hear the prophets. They have a message, don't they? You know, a prophet is not just someone who prophesies. How many old people just want to live on prophecy? And that's fine to have prophetic words. I love to have them too when God's in it. But how many know a prophet brings a message? I see a message in a man or a woman, whoever, you know, God's using. They're sounding the trumpet, the warning, the revelation from God, whatever. Okay, so he declared, notice, to his servants the prophets. Now look in 11:15 of Revelation. Well, let's don't go to 15 yet. We'll get up there. Let's go to verse 1. Now if you have any problems, Robert's here to answer all these things, right? He's preaching tonight, so Robert. Revelation 11. Now I want to look at this here. Revelation 11. But before I read this, how many believe that in the resurrection there's various glories in this resurrection? Do you believe that? And let me tell you what I mean by that. There is a glory of the stars, isn't there? There's a glory of the moon. There's a glory of the sun. And then he said, so it will be that like that in the resurrection. How many believe some will outshine others? Anybody want to shine today for Jesus? Shine, that song, you know, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." You sing that? Praise God, I like that one. And so we want to shine for the Lord. We want that power and that light of Christ coming in us, changing us where we can shine in that resurrection power. Okay, look in Revelation 11 now. And I'm going to spend a little time here in Revelation 11. Because I'm no hurry, we got a while, right? Anybody gets tired, just stand up, walk around back there, whatever. But you know, these are nice seats, aren't they? I remember the other ones. Amen. They used to bring the cushions. It's the cushites over here. No. Okay, verse 1. Back to resurrection. Okay. Now, I said last night, the sons have to experience a resurrection first. They are first fruits, okay? Now, here in chapter 11, look at verse 1. We'll just go on this slow. He said, "There was given me a reed like a rod, Okay, over in chapter 20, that rod is a golden rod. How many know the nature of Christ is what's going to measure you and I? We don't measure ourselves to one another, do we? We don't do that. Paul says don't do that. Christ is the one that's doing the measuring. Is that true? Now, look in Ephesians 4. Hold your place. Keep your place in chapter 11. Now, we're going to be there for a while. Now, look in Ephesians 4, and let's see where the Lord wants to bring you and me. In Ephesians 4, look at verse, 11? And he gave some apostles. How many thank God for the apostolic ministry? Some prophets. Now, I could get on this and teach and share Sherry Law things. Some evangelists, some pastors. But the word pastor there really should be shepherds. It's only used pastor one time in the New Testament. But I like the word. The word is shepherd. And I see a difference in a shepherd and a pastor. But I ain't going to get on that now. And teachers. Why did God give those fivefold ministries? Come on. For the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So who's going to do the work of the ministry? The saints. As they're equipped, right, by the fivefold ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And it'll bring edification, won't it? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature, complete, full-aged man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's going to take the fivefold ministries of apostle, prophet, teacher, shepherd, evangelist to bring us to that fullness. Is that true? So don't fight those that God has put in your way. Amen? Those ministries. We need five. If we're just under one, how many know we're just going to be perfected one-fifth? We need the fivefold ministry in the church, and we need to sit under and hear many of them. Is that right? Okay. So back in chapter 11, he says here, rise and measure the temple of God. Notice, the temple of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God dwell in temples made with hands? Do you know that's Bible? We set this building aside for God, and for the meeting of God, rather. But how many know God don't dwell in that brick and mortar there? He dwells in the people right here. Isn't that right? And so we are, come on, his temple today, are we? We are the temple. And you know, Jesus, when he walked out of that temple for the last time, he said all this will be thrown down, right? And so he was through with the natural temple, and he walked out of it. And I'm telling you, brethren, I ain't looking for no temple in the Middle East. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the real temple today. That's you and me. And he said right here that God, this angel, this one is talking to John, is going to measure this temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So those in verse 1 are called the temple. How many know the temple's not made up of two or three people? Come on, it's a body, isn't it? It's a body. That's why you can't say these are just two men in this chapter. It's a body. It's a temple. And notice what they're doing. They're worshiping the Lord. Do you believe he's going to measure the worshipers? I believe that. And worshiping is not just coming to church and how many know it's every day of the week, wherever you are. It's from the heart, isn't it? And so, in verse 1, we see there is a people called the temple measured. Then in verse 2, there's a people that's not measured. Now, we got a choice. We can be measured or we can be left out. Is that true? In 1, there's obedience. In verse 2, there's rebellion. Because in verse 2, the court that's without this temple, what did he say? Leave it out. Don't measure it. Amen? What's given to the heathen and the holy city shall they tread underfoot how long? How many of us 3.5 years? So we don't want to get trampled down. Amen? We want to be measured and be part of what God's doing. Verse 3. Then he said, I will give power to my two witnesses or my two martyrs, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now notice, did you notice something in verse 2? There's a people being tread down for 42 months. In verse 3, he's given people power for 42 months. So you want to be tread down or you want to be people that's moving in the power of the Lord? Well, I don't have to ask you that question. I know what the answer is. And notice they're clothed in what? Sackcloth, which speaks of mourning, fasting, prayer. They're crying out to God. They're not just having a good time, are they? These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire does what? Proceed out of their mouth. Notice the word mouth is singular. How many see that? You know, God wants to bring a people to a place where there's one mouth. There's one voice. Come on, one sound, one message, one trumpet. You go in some camps, you got 15 or 20 messages going off. God's going to make us one, isn't he? How many believe it? Now let's turn to Zechariah 4. We'll come back here. In verse 6, he tells you what that the two witnesses really are. Zechariah 4. He answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word. Everybody say the word. Of Zerubbabel. Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the anointed word. Anybody want to hear the anointed word? Amen. Verse 10 now, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven. Now that word seven are the seven eyes that John saw in Revelation. How many of the seven eyes, the candlestick speaks, it's the fullness, okay? How many know Christ is in the midst of the candlestick? One place he's standing there, another place it said he's walking in the midst. There's action. I believe it's walking today. Hallelujah. Among this candlestick, don't you? And then he said, these are the seven eyes, or the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said to him, what are these two olive trees? And notice where the olive trees are, upon the right side of the candlestick. What's the candlestick a picture of? Church, isn't it? Yes. All right. And upon the left side thereof. And again he said, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Now, you can't empty out unless you've got something in you, right? You can't pour out unless something's been poured into you. And again, listen to this. You cannot empty out to just anybody you want to. Now, how many of the Lord will direct who you'll empty out to? Because I tell you, if we made the choice, there's a lot of people we'd just overlook. Amen? And of course, you've never had any clash with your flesh, have you, with somebody else? You know, you just skip, you know, a lot of people. But the Lord shows you who to empty out to. Amen? And it's golden oil. It's a golden candlestick. It's golden pipes. It's golden oil. And where is this golden oil going into? Look at it. Look in verse 12. It said they're emptying the golden oil out of themselves. But you know where it's going? It's going right into that candlestick, right into the church. How many know if you cut off prophets, you cut off the ministry of the prophets, you cut off revelation to the church? You know why some churches don't have revelation? Because preachers won't let them come in. They will not let prophets come in a lot of churches. And that's why God raises up places like this and other places where they can come. Amen? Praise God. Then, verse 13, he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. If you look in the Hebrew, the two anointed ones means the sons of fresh oil. Anybody want some fresh oil today? Hallelujah. We need it, don't we? Back in chapter 11 of Revelation. We need fresh oil today, bad church. How many know we haven't arrived yet? Some say the great revival is in the land. I've missed it if it is. There's, in spots, there, God is moving, okay? But I'm telling you something, as a whole, we need revival in America, don't we? We need a move of God. Some places, dead are in a hammer. Can you say amen? Other places, it's God's moving. Okay, back in chapter 11. So God's going to give power to his two prophets, two witnesses, or this company here that he's ministering to. In verse 4, again, he said, the two olive trees, the two candlesticks. Verse 5, if any man will hurt them, and that means somebody's going to try to hurt them. And you know what, brethren? They wanted to kill Jesus. You know who tried to kill Jesus? The religious crowd. And I tell you who your greatest enemy in the days ahead is going to be the church crowd, religious crowd. Those that don't want Jesus, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want anything to do with the Holy Ghost or the moving of God, and they're going to try to kill you. Come on, amen? You go in some church and try to preach some of these things, they will kill you. Won't they? Amen. Thank God for places like this you can come and teach it. That's why we need to support it with our prayers and our finances. Amen? All of us. Now notice, he says here, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. Now turn to Jeremiah 5. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 5. How many know it takes a lot of study in this kind of teaching? You can't just get it without going into the Word of God. Jeremiah 5:14. It says, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, Jeremiah, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. Now notice, God says, my words. That's the anointed word. It'll be fire in your mouth, and this people shall be wood, and it shall devour them. Then look in chapter 20 of Jeremiah. Chapter 20. How many want to have fire in your life? Well, how many believe you'll walk through some fire? If you're going to become the fire, you'll know what fire is. You'll be not just next to it, warming yourself like Peter, or being the fire like the three Hebrew children, but you'll also become that fire as well. But here in chapter 20, verse 9, then I said, this is what Jeremiah said, I'm not going to make mention of him. I'm not going to speak any more in his name. I'm going to quit preaching and prophesying. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. How many believe all prophets have heartburn? Yeah. Amen. And I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stay. Otherwise, there was such an unction within this man. That fire was so burning within him, he couldn't. He had to open his mouth again and speak and say what God said. How many believe that it's not us doing it anyway? It's the one in us. Amen? We're not doing anything. It's just the one in us. Amen? Of course, we yield our vessel. We submit to him, but it's him. Back in chapter 11. Now notice in verse 5 again. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And so I'm seeing the fire, this anointed word, devouring of people trying to kill these two witnesses. How many know we reap what we sow? These have power to shut heaven. Now, here is that ex anastasis power I talked about last night. These have power to shut heaven. Who did that in the Old Testament? Come on. Elijah, didn't he? Okay, here's a picture of Elijah. That it rained not in the days of their prophecy. They have power of waters to turn them to blood. Moses did that. To smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So here is a picture of Elijah and Moses, but it's in a company. It's in a people worldwide. It's not two men. Cannot be two men. And when they shall have finished their testimony, did Jesus finish his? He finished. He said, it is finished. Remember that? The work God gave him. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and do something. Kill them. How many see that? And their dead bodies. Now, I didn't say their live bodies. Their dead bodies. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street. How many of the word streets are, see the word street as singular? Of the great city. Now, what's the great city? What is the great city? It's Babylon. Babylon's a great city. How many know Babylon's worldwide? What is Babylon? It's the economic system, political system, the religious system. But it's worldwide. And I want to tell you, America's the hub. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Babylon is fallen. Now, Babylon is not just in one locality. It is worldwide. That spirit is worldwide today. And we could get on that. But he said here, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually, let me see the word spiritually, which spiritually is called Sodom. What does Sodom mean? It means to be scorched. How many believe God scorched some in Sodom? Is that right? The unclean. In the place of uncleanness. We know what Sodom is. And Egypt. What is Egypt a picture of? Come on. The world. Lust the eye. Lust the flesh. Pride of life. Is that true? And then the third part. Look at this now. Look at this. For also our Lord was. All right. He was crucified not in the city of Jerusalem, but outside the city. Is that true? Look in Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. And we're talking about spiritually now. We're not talking about, he didn't say physically, spiritually speaking. Amen? Hebrews 13. All right, look at verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Where did he suffer? Without the gate, let us go forth, therefore, unto him, without the camp, bearing something. His reproach. So these two witnesses die spiritually in a place called Sodom, Egypt, and where our Lord was crucified, in the place of reproach. And how many believe that there will be a people that will hate these people? Now let's come back to chapter 11. Look in verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. How many see that? Shall see their dead bodies. 3 days and a half. How many days was Lazarus in the grave? 4 days, wasn't it? Well, how many know when you go past three, you're on four? So you got the Lazarus principle here, don't you? And notice, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and shall what? Make merry, shall send gifts one to another. I don't know if UPS will be around then or not. Or because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after, did you hear that? He tormented those that dwelt on the earth. And he's talking about those nations and tongues and kindreds and people. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they sit upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, this is what John heard in chapter 4, come up hither. Hallelujah. And they did something. They ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake and so forth. Now, how many see that they ascended? How many see that word? All right, now look back to John 3. I want to show you something here. In John chapter 3, on that word ascend. Look in chapter 3 and look in verse 12 and 13. John chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Jesus said these words, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath what? What's the next word? Now notice, that was when Jesus was here on the earth. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is where? And where was he standing?
On earth.
He was there in heaven, but he was here, wasn't he? But he said, no man hath ascended, amen, to heaven, but except the one that came down. Now, turn to back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 9. Thank you very much. Verse 8. It says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high, this is Jesus, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, notice all heavens, that he might fill all things. How many see that? Now, go to Acts chapter 2, and let me show you another scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. Let me ask you a question. Where's David today? Is he with the Lord? Sure he is. But how many know David didn't ascend? The Lord took him. The Lord took him back to the heavenlies. In verse 34, David is not ascended into the heavens, but where is he at today? He's there, isn't he? He's there, isn't he? But he that saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So David is not ascended into the heavens, but how many know Jesus did ascend to the heavens? Far above all heavens. We just read it. How many know Enoch was taken by God? Elijah was taken by God. But Jesus ascended, didn't he?
Yes.
Amen? Now, turn to Psalms 24. How many want to ascend? Ascend. Psalm 24. I believe that's where I want. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Hallelujah. Psalms 24. That's all right. Psalms 24, verse 3. Here he asks the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? What is the hill of the Lord? It's Zion. Church. Who shall stand in his holy place? Who's going to do that? He that hath clean hands, number one. Number two, and a pure in heart shall see. When he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. Amen. Every man that has this, what? Hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. All right. Notice, clean hands, pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. So if we're going to ascend to the hill of God, we've got to have clean hands and a pure heart. Is that right? We've got to have that. It's a requirement. So it's going to happen. Now let's go back to Revelation 11, and we see again here. What does it say in chapter 11? Hallelujah. What did it say in verse, let's see here. Okay. In verse 12, the middle part, they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. Their enemies beheld them. Jesus, you study the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is the only one who's ever ascended. And yet we come to Revelation. These also will stand up in resurrection power and also ascend. Okay? The power from within will cause them to ascend. Amen? Now, you know the devil said over in Isaiah 14 that he would ascend. You ever read that? But how many know he didn't make it? Here's what he said. I'll just read it to you, brethren. He said right here, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. He didn't make it. He's coming down. Amen? Now turn to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4. Hallelujah. How many want to get resurrected? It'll happen. Chapter 4. All right? Praise God. Verse 16. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. What trump of God is that? It's the last trump that Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead where? In Christ. We saw it earlier, didn't we? The dead that are in Christ, those that are in Christ, the anointed one, shall rise first. So it behooves us to be in Christ, doesn't it? If you want to rise first, you better be in Christ. Amen? Let him come in you, take you into him. Submit to him. All right. Then we, which are alive, so that means somebody's going to be living. How many believe there's going to be a lot of people living? Then we, which are alive and remain, hallelujah, shall be caught up together with them, that is the dead in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The word air means environment. It's the air that's, this goes up so high. How many know I'm breathing some of that stuff today? How about you? You know. To meet the Lord where? In the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, when is the timing? Look at verse 1, chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the day of the Lord, aren't we? Now, let me tell you five things. His coming is real. Amen? He said that there'll be a people, that his coming will be in the clouds. Matthew 24 said the clouds are heavenly clouds. Clouds of heaven, not rain clouds. Three, it is the trumpet blowing. The seventh trumpet is going to change us. And four, resurrection will start. The dead in Christ shall rise first then. That word then, look back in verse 17. How many see that word then? The dead in Christ shall rise first then. That word then means afterwards. Or after that, I can show you in Scripture where it means years. It can mean a short period of time. It can mean years. I don't know how long that's going to be. God only knows right here. I don't know. But after that, or afterwards, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. And so there is resurrection. The resurrection starts here. The dead in Christ. Those that are in Christ shall be resurrected. And what else? The day of the Lord is when it's going to be. Now, turn to Luke 20. Last Scripture so here, maybe. Praise God. I'm going to take a few questions. And then I want to go back. Well, I'll give you this, and I want to go back to Revelation. Chapter 20. Is your brain hurting all these scriptures? Chapter 20, verse 34. Glenn's getting them all down. Look at verse 34, brethren. Jesus answered and said to them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain what? That world, that age, that millennium, or that 1,000 years, and the resurrection from the dead. Literally, that word means the resurrection out from among the dead there. Neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, which means some did die. For they're equal to the angels. And how many of those different ranks in the angelic realms of God? And are the children of God being what? The children of what?
The resurrection.
But the word children is sons. Mark it in your Bible. It means sons of God, sons of the resurrection. And so I said last night, the sons of God will start the resurrection. Those that are dead in Christ are the sons. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Revelation now. 11. Praise God. There's a lot of things God's going to yet show us, isn't he? And I want it. Now, I want to show you that when this people who die, resurrect, and ascend to God, I want to show you the time zone. Now look down to verse 15. Notice what happened. Notice what happens here when this people rises up. And the seventh angel sounded. How many see that? Seventh trump. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. That's the body of Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken of thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now look at verse 18. What's happening at this time? And the nations were happy, angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, earthquake and great hail. Praise God. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever studied, but a lot of times before the seals were open, or the trumpets, or the vials, you see the earthquake, the thunder, and the lightning. And also in Revelation, how many know lightning comes before thunder? But several places in Revelation, you see thunder before lightning. Okay? Now, I want to just say this. Brother Donnie shared the other night, and he had a wonderful word out of Ezekiel. How many know that Ezekiel, when he saw the throne and the living creatures and everything there, Ezekiel's vision was not complete like John's was. How many know that in Revelation it's complete? God is a perfected people. For instance, in Ezekiel, the throne was above the living creatures. Remember that? How many know in Revelation it's come down in the midst? In Ezekiel, God had not entered the souls of men. But in Revelation, he had come forth in his fullness. Into the souls of men. Are you hearing me? The eyes, the wheels, everything was on the outside, where in Revelation, it was all within. How many of the works being done in here? And so, brethren, there were four wings, and there were six wings. Four wings in Ezekiel, six wings in Revelation. What's the difference? How many of in Revelation chapter 12, it says there was given two wings to the church of the great eagle. Remember that? To fly into the wilderness. How many know that he's our great eagle today? You know what those two wings are? The mind of Christ. And how many know we need the mind of Jesus today? Amen? For the days ahead. So, the resurrection is real. It's coming. It's already happened. Started within us. It's got to now come into our soul, and then eventually it'll be in our bodies. Amen? Praise God. Some will give their life, some will not. God knows who they are, and God knows who can go through those things. I believe there's a martyr's grace. Not just those who lay their physical life down, but grace to go through a lot of things even in this life. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you today. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that Jesus paid the price that we could be saved. Lord, we could be changed. We could be resurrected. Thank you for your power within us, Lord. We bless your wonderful name. We honor you, Lord. We love you today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to pray for Brother Golden today because he's getting ready to go back to Belize, him and his wife. And I just reach your hands towards him back there. Father, I just lift up my brother today. We thank you for Brother Golden. We thank you for his wife and his children. Family, Lord, we thank you for his protection as they go back to Belize, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're going to do for our brother there in Belize and Cuba and other places. We just pray for their great protection. We pray for guidance and direction now, Lord. Father, meet every need that they have, Father, spirit, soul, and body. We bless our brethren in Jesus' name. And Father, we also bless the good food today we're going to partake of, Father. We bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless this campground. We bless the ministries here, Lord, and all of that, that's involved in the preaching and teaching and deliverance, Lord. We bless them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the precious people that have come, Lord, that have driven many miles, many hours, Lord. We bless them, Father, and we bless, Lord, all your gifts to your people and what you've done. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.